Ich freue mich wirklich sehr jetzt auf die kommende Keynote. Rhiannon Parker ist schon bereit.
Rhiannon Parker is ready. She's the chief of the innovation officer of the Valuable 500. It's a global network in which inclusion is of the essence. 500 CEOs their CEOs have committed themselves to more action. It's not about the nitty-gritty details. It's about a systemic change. What does it mean in concrete details? Well, we are learning this in a moment. For all those who want to listen to the German interpretation, click on the German channel in the globe. What time is it over there?
I am upside down. So if you just bear with me for 1 second.
You're at the other side of the globe for us. That's okay.
Yeah, other side of the globe. So I'm just bear with me 1 second. I'm just going to figure this out.
No problem.
I apologize.
What time is it right now, Rhiannon?
It is just after 5 a.m. So maybe that explains things.
Okay, wow. Thanks a lot for getting up so early. Especially for us.
Of course. I'm not actually sure how to change this. It's not usually doing this. So would you prefer that I just get started and talk anyways, or?
I think it's really charming if you just put on the camera and we know that you're on the other side of the globe, and for me it would be okay. And if we see you later, so then you can put it upside down.
All right, here we go. Let's just roll with it. So first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity to join you today. As you said, my name is Rhiannon Parker and I sit as Chief Innovation Officer at the Valuable 500. At the Valuable 500, I have the privilege of working with 500 of the world's most well-known brands and their CEOs who have committed to using their businesses as a force for good to end disability exclusion. So I have to say, I don't actually mind admitting this, that even though we have 64 industries represented across the Valuable 500, travel and tourism is one that is very close to my heart, and in particular, accessible tourism. So pleased to be here. And just looking at the attendance today, it's really a testament to how many people are committed to doing the work or are curious about this work. So thank you so much for everybody joining and joining in this day of accessible tourism. I just have to also say I've watched with pride and admiration over the last 3 years as the industry has rebounded and the resilience that everybody has demonstrated. And I think in particular, what has been so encouraging to see is that this resilience has been demonstrated through the lens of using travel as a force for good, right? And so we see this with all of the efforts going on in regard to accessible tourism and really working to make sure that travel and tourism comes back more resilient than ever and more inclusive than ever. I was spending some time taking a look at the data. So in preparation for our discussion today, looking at the WTTC data and seeing how many advances we're making, seeing travel and tourism's contributions to GDP rebounding, seeing, getting back to those previous levels of how many people are employed globally in the industry and how many new jobs are created. So that's incredibly exciting. But what we also need to look towards is how we continue to grow and how we continue to do better. Today I'd like to actually make the argument that the global disability community plays a key role in this recovery process. So the World Health Organization data tells us that conservative estimates, these are conservative estimates, that 16% of the world's population lives with a disability. And what we know and what is so relevant to our industry is that disabled travelers don't fly alone. They don't come to destination alone. They travel with friends, their families, and their carers. So this market segment increases exponentially. And what I think is also really special about our industry is the degree of connectedness. So when we look at a disabled traveler's experience, of a particular destination, that starts at the point of booking, and that continues all the way through arrival in destination, flying, their experience at the hotel, and amusements, all of these things. So it's really important for everybody to work together and really come together and ensure the continuity of that guest experience. So I think that's something that's very special about travel and tourism as well. So much of the discourse that we've been hearing over the last couple of years really seems to center around diversity and inclusion. And I think, of course, as a fundamental, the work that we're doing, all of the efforts towards accessible tourism, of course, it's about inclusion. It's about equitable participation. But I'd also like to make the argument that there's an economic imperative to this, right? When we sit and we talk about things, you know, the statistics that are relevant to the industry. So we look at occupancy, we look at average daily rate, we look at RevPAR. These are conversations that are incredibly relevant to accessible tourism and to accessing the spend of this market. So just kind of a takeaway message today is please do not hesitate to see disability inclusion as an economic imperative and as something that is really tightly tied to the recovery processes that we're all working really hard towards. Sorry, I just wanted to switch there. And I think really the disability community represents an untapped market. So I've never seen anyone stand at the front of the room and, you know, indicate, you know, say, here's how we're going to exclude 20% of our market share, right? But effectively, when we ignore the disability community, that is what is happening, right? So just a few takeaways in that regard. And what I'd also like to highlight is that disability is a social construct. So when we talk to the disability community every day and we talk about their experience of traveling and their experience in destination, what we hear from them is that they don't feel disabled when they go to a restaurant. Oh, I see somebody else's upside down as well. It makes me feel a little better. But yeah, the disability community does not feel disabled when they go to a restaurant and there's a menu that provides Braille, or when a server at a restaurant is able to sign in sign language to them. They feel disabled when they encounter barriers in society. So the work that we have and the challenge ahead of us is how do we remove those barriers? Some of them are big asks. These are significant pieces of work that deal with infrastructure and changing ways of thinking and ways of being. But it's also, some simple things that really gets back to the core of what this industry is all about. And I really believe that that's about creating an exceptional guest experience. So when we talk to the disability community and we say, well, when you go into your hotel room, how do you, and you're blind, how do you know what is what in the mini bar? How do you know which one is the shampoo bottle and which one is the conditioner? And we hear some really elegant and simple solutions. You know, I get on FaceTime with my wife and I show her, you know, what's in the mini bar, and she tells me, you know, which one is, you know, juice and which one is not. So these are simple things that hoteliers can do, that in destination we can do to just think of the needs of the community. And really that starts with listening to the disability community. So I would encourage everybody to approach this work with an innate curiosity of how to create an exceptional guest experience. And what we know from the principles of universal design and, you know, from people that are very engaged in this work is that we design for one and we serve many. So oftentimes we may start out doing this work or creating solutions that are specific to the disability community. But the net effect of that or the outcome is that we serve so many and we benefit others that we had no idea were serviceable, right? So I think that's a fantastic thing that we see every day. I'm just going to recalibrate for one second here. The other piece that we hear from the disability community is that they need to see themselves represented in marketing and in media, right? So they need to see themselves authentically represented. And what this means is autonomous, you know, having fun. I think something incredible that's happening right now in the global disability community is a pride in their identity as disabled. So it's not viewed as something that needs to be overcome. It's something that is a vibrant part of their identity. And especially, you know, kind of younger generations, really seeing them step into that with pride, which is incredibly exciting. And so it makes sense that the DMOs and, you know, all of the other players involved in marketing and, you know, promotion and advertising authentically represent the disability community, because what that inherently says is that you're welcome here. We see you. It will be okay. And I think we need to remember that a lot of people within the disability community have had really awful experiences. They've traveled to countries with the hope that they would find something accessible, or they researched and they did a lot of work to make sure that was the case, and were let down. So we have a job to do here to make sure that we kind of re-earn that trust and get this community excited about traveling again. So I think all of those things are incredibly exciting. I think really where to start, this starts with centering it on the fact that this is about an exceptional guest experience, but asking thoughtful questions. So, you know, for example, if I was a disabled individual, would I have to use a specialist travel agency just to find out the information that I need that would encourage me to make that booking, or, you know, to commit to that spend? If I'm staying at your hotel, you know, do I have access to everything? Is the pool available to me? Can I even get onto the balcony to enjoy that view? You know, and if I were disabled, would I be able to find the information that I need when I'm booking, and or would that take me, you know, an exceptional amount of time because that information is just simply not available? So, you know, all of these kind of thoughtful considerations are not necessarily DEI considerations. These are things that are fundamental to the guest experience. And I think what makes everybody that is on this call who they are is just an obsession with their customers, right? An obsession with what this is all about. Those are I think some really key things. And there's no better person or no better community that is able to understand the needs, to communicate the needs, and to support the needs of the disability community. So this is where it comes full circle as well, right? So when we look at employment, we look at the statistics that we saw from the WTTC, and we see that we're very close to getting back to where we were pre-pandemic. We saw that the travel and tourism industry employed 1 in 10 people worldwide. Right now, we're sitting at 1 in 11 people worldwide. But how many of those people are disabled employees? How many of those roles actually go somewhere and have a tangible career progression associated with them? So just really kind of finding all the ways that these things interconnect and how we can do better as an industry is, I think, what people like me get very excited about, and the reason that I was so excited to come and talk to you today. So just wanted to say thank you so much. Thank you for putting up with me being upside down. I'm going to try to figure that out. But it's been an absolute pleasure joining you today.